All right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and get started. Wow, that's good. Good and loud. Yeah. This morning, we're going to talk about something that is, there's so much good devotional material in Ruth, but Ruth chapter 3, and the subject is answered prayer, and just a lot of good material in here. Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, starting in verse 1. So Ruth is about to embark on, really, her commitment to Naomi is going to deepen. Not only is she going to be the caretaker and the provider for Naomi, made that decision in chapter 1, but now she may be the mother of the children that inherit Naomi's, basically be Naomi's children, since Naomi has no children. And Ruth has found a place with Boaz, who is related to Naomi. And so Ruth chapter 3, starting in verse 1, we'll just read five verses, and like I said, the subject is answered prayer. But let's read. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in, uncover his feet, lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do." That verse, at the end of verse 4, he will tell thee what you're going to do, what you need to do. That is Ruth getting an answer to the request. And so we're going to look at that in relation to answered prayer this morning. But let's pray, and we'll talk about these great, really great devotional things in here. But let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for this time together, this opportunity. Thank you for each soul that's here and those that are next door in Sunday school. I pray that you'd fill the teachers with your Holy Spirit to minister to the kids. And then for those that have been invited, and then those that I know we're planning on getting some kids this morning, but I pray we'd be able to have a continued open door with the families there from VBS. Thank you again for your words, for salvation in Jesus Christ, and I pray that you'd help us in this, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the verses lay out perfectly. It's such a great, a great description of approaching the kinsman, and when I say kinsman, not only are we reading about Boaz, but we're talking about Jesus Christ in a bigger picture here. It's Jesus Christ. But the way Ruth approaches and is told to approach Boaz is it matches the way a person would approach Jesus Christ, approach the throne of God, and seeking some request and something that you need. And that's something to keep in mind with all of this, what we're about to say. Prayer is getting a hold of God and getting a hold of a God who has what you need. And he is the source of and the supplier of needs. And so in the story here, and it's not just a story, it's history, but in Ruth's case and Naomi's case, Boaz has what Ruth and Naomi need. And he has it. And so he not only has the food, but then there's an opportunity now for a future, a new life to be created out of this this union, and so, or potential union here. So Boaz has everything Ruth and Naomi need, and in similar capacity, similar way, you ought to think about the Lord, God the Father, Jesus Christ. The Lord has everything that you need. I mean, what you need, He has. And so prayer is getting a hold of the Lord and getting a supply of something that you need, the help that you need, the perspective that you need, whatever the case is. And so these verses, it's so good the way these things lay out. So Naomi instructs Ruth, all right, here's what you do. You need to get a hold of Boaz, because Boaz, apparently, not only does he have the food, but he's a near kinsman, and there's some more opportunity here there's a future here. And so she gives Ruth instruction. Naomi gives Ruth instruction on how to approach Boaz. And I just make a little side note here. I thought about doing this, but sometimes in the book of Ruth, Naomi is a good picture of the Holy Spirit in some ways. And so I thought about doing something on that one time, but I don't know, just food for thought. But that's not the subject here. The subject here is answered prayer. Naomi gives some instruction to Ruth and says, all right, when you do this, what's going to happen is Boaz is going to instruct you and going to give you the next steps to make. And so here's Naomi's instruction. Here it is. And I broke it down into there's a few things here, and I'm going to go through them and give you some cross references fairly quickly. But here it is. The breakdown is very simple. And starting in verse 3, this is what Naomi says. Number 1, wash thyself. Get cleaned up. And this isn't like get cleaned up for salvation, or because you're not going to clean yourself up for salvation or eternal life or anything like that. Eternal life is a gift. But when you approach the throne of God, and remember, I'm taking this specifically to typify a prayer, an answered prayer. Ruth is just like you would occasion any event that was a special event. You would get cleaned up. So she says, get cleaned up. What does that mean spiritually speaking? Here's a couple verses for cross reference sake. Look in James chapter 4 and verse 3. When it deals with prayer and approaching the throne, there are ways to approach God's throne and really stink before God, and there's ways to approach God's throne and not stink before God. James chapter 4, verse 3. The first thing is get cleaned up. Well, how do I get cleaned up? Well, here's one way. Clean up the motives. James 4, 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So that approach is a wrong motive. That means I want it so I can have it and eat it and consume it, and whatever the case is, it's just stuff. It's something that I just want to consume. And the Lord says, well, I'm not really interested in what you want to consume. I'm interested in helping you. I'm interested in encouraging you. I'm interested in giving you things you need, but I'm not interested in you consuming things on your lust. So when you come to me and your motive is, I want to have this because I just want to have this, my answer is, clean up your motive and then come back to me. Have a different motive, maybe a spiritual motive, maybe something that is about God's business. Here's one more cross-reference, Psalm 66, 18. You clean up motives. How about this one, Psalm 66, 18. So Ruth is told by Naomi, all right, if you're going to approach Boaz, number 1, wash yourself, get cleaned up. You're going to approach the throne of God, number one, get some things cleaned up. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what's the Lord going to do? He's not interested. So he's not interested if I'm coming to him with the request that says, I just want it because I want it. He's not interested in a request where I have I can do whatever I want to, and God, you're just there to give me what I want. And so the Lord's not interested in those types of requests. Those things are dirty requests. They have filth associated with them. And like Naomi says to Ruth, and like a Christian or someone approaching the throne of God, the first thing to do, get some things cleaned up. Clean up the motives. Clean up the things in the heart. All right? And you understand, these things are not that difficult to understand. I mean, they're simple to understand. If you got children, you understand that sometimes kids make demands, and sometimes we as adults make demands, and those demands and what's behind the request is not something you want to honor as a parent. You're just not interested in honoring it. Maybe because, like the Lord, it's like, no, I'm not going to give this to you. You haven't behaved right. No, I'm not going to give this to you because you just want it. That's not a good motive that you can just consume it and have more of me. I want. So Naomi says to Ruth, all right, simple thing. You're getting ready to approach the kinsman. Wash thyself. Back to Ruth chapter 3. Second thing is, she says, wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. What does anoint mean? Put on your perfumes. Make yourself smell good. Make yourself presentable. And so there's ways to enter someone's presence stinking, and there's ways to enter someone's presence and you're like, man, that person smells good. I like the smell of that. And you don't think those things came from God? God created all that. He created the senses. He created all that stuff. And so when people enter into his presence, one of the things he said is, when you enter the presence of God, it says it in Psalms. I'll just give it to you real quick. He says it in Psalms 100. He says, enter his courts with what? Thanksgiving. Praise. Gratitude. Yeah, all right, let's look at it. Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 100. Yeah, there you go. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's a sweet savor. That's something that smells good. I don't know if you've noticed in some of these Old Testament books where the kings regularly put happy people around them. They don't want depression in their presence. They don't want people moping around in their presence. And so it's a real interesting thing when Nehemiah is sort of sad in the presence of the king. And it's like, I'd never been sad before in the presence of the king. And the reason is the king doesn't surround himself with grumpy people. And if you're going to be in the king's court, just like in the Lord's court, it's like you enter the court with thanksgiving. You enter the court with praise. You enter the court happy. You enter the court expressing gratitude to the king. They always did that. They would come before the king, oh, high and mighty king. Even if it wasn't God Almighty, if it was just some earthly king, they would come before the king and they would say, oh, we honor you and we humble ourselves before you and stuff like that. That was what earthly kings had to deal with and they dealt with and they accepted. And so you didn't barge into the throne room making demands and saying, give me this and give me that. That's not how you approach the king. The king would quickly sweep you out of his court, I'm sure. You entered the court humbly. You entered the court graciously. You entered the court meekly, and you presented your request, and you thanked the king for what he's done. And so that happens at an earthly scale, and that happens at a heavenly scale. When the Lord says, enter his courts with thanksgiving, and or enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. That's a normal thing. I know we don't have kings or anything, but you get the idea. So what am I saying about the anoint thyself? There's a way to enter into God's presence spiritually with some spiritual perfume on, where you're appealing and your presence is a sweet thing to the Lord, and that approach is a grateful approach. It's a thanksgiving approach. It's an approach that says, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And meaning it. I'll give you one more real quick. New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Naomi says, get cleaned up, put on some perfume. Well, you could put on some spiritual perfume, some thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. By prayer and supplication, and when you offer that, with thanksgiving. That's a sweet savor to the Lord. That's something the Lord he is looking for. He is appreciative of that. So get cleaned up, put on the perfume, the thanksgiving, the making yourself presentable, things like that. Back to Ruth chapter 3. Here's another one. Ruth chapter 3, she says in verse 3, wash thyself, therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. All right, so put on a change of clothes too. Put on something that honors the occasion. Put on something that honors the occasion. All right, how in the world would you do that, spiritually speaking, when you're approaching the throne of God? I'll give you one quick cross-reference. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 22. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. You'll find that a lot of these things kind of relate to each other, just like taking a bath and putting on deodorant and stuff like that sort of relates to each other. It's similar in spiritual matters. So he says, put on thy raiment. Put some clothes on that honor the occasion. Honor what you're doing here. Ephesians 4, verse 22, real quick. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, well, That sounds good, but how do I put a handle on that? What does it mean to put on the new man? Well, here's what it means. 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for you're members of one of another. Be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. All right, that's another way you put on the new man. Here's another way. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. What is that? That's putting on the new man. Here's another one, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's putting on the new man. And then ultimately, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So all of these things grieve the Holy Spirit of God if you're lying, if you're not controlling the emotions, if you're stealing. These are grievances to the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. What is that? That's putting off the old man with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. What is that? That's putting on the new man. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So you've got the putting off and the putting on. You put off old man, put on the new man, and then Paul describes what that looks like. So you don't have to guess and you don't have to wonder what he means. So when Ruth is told by Naomi to put some clothes on that honor the occasion, that's a good picture and type of putting on the new man. I mean, some of this stuff, like I said, it goes back to, it sort of relates to other things, you know, the bad motives and things like that. We talked about getting cleaned up and all that. These things are all interrelated. But Ruth is told by Naomi, put thy raiment upon thee. Get dressed for the occasion. And then, real quick, I'm going to have to move through these. Back to Ruth chapter 3. Get cleaned up. Approach the throne, anoint thee, approach the throne with a joyful presence, put raiment upon thee, get dressed for the occasion, put on the new man. Then she says this in verse 3, wash thyself, Ruth 3:3, wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. That's the threshing floor. That is where Boaz's work is being done. Get down to the threshing floor. This is where Boaz is going to be. It's where, y'all know, I know you know this. So a threshing floor is what? What happens at a threshing floor? Do what? There's separation at the threshing floor, where chaff is separated from wheat, and what's good comes out and is kept. So, and that's where Boaz is going to be. That's where his work is going to be. He's going to be at the threshing floor. So Naomi says, get cleaned up, put some perfume on, get dressed, and then go down to the threshing floor. But don't do anything yet. Go down to the threshing floor. Threshing floor is like a place of, you could say, a place of decision. It's a place where good is separated out from bad. And I'm not going to read all of these cross references, but I'll just tell you, it reminds me of this. In Luke, I think it's Luke chapter 9, where the Lord is calling disciples, and people are coming to him, and they're saying, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. And he says, okay, you know, follow me. And one of them might say, well, let me first go bury my father. And he says, anybody remember what he says? Let the dead bury their dead. Now, there's a little bit of context to it. It's not just a harsh statement. There's some context to all that. But the point is, you have to make a decision. It's either, do I decide to follow Jesus Christ where he's going, or do I decide to pursue my own agenda? Then another one may say, there's a couple more. I'll follow you, but I've got family matters to take care of. I'll follow you, but I've got this wedding to go to. I'll follow you, but I've got this thing to go to. And the Lord essentially says, I think there's three cases there, and essentially says, you have to make a decision, because what you find more important, for whatever reason you find it more important, it doesn't make any difference, because the thing is, are you going to follow me or are you not going to follow me? And everyone has their reason for not following me. This guy showed up and he's got family reasons for not following me. This guy showed up and he's got business reasons for not following me. This guy showed up and he's got friend reasons for not following me. So I line them all up and there's all these reasons for not following me. And the Lord just steps back and is like, look, this is the place of decision. You can follow me or you can pick whatever agenda you have and follow that agenda. The bottom line is if you're going to follow that agenda, you're not following me. You can't follow me and pursue your agenda. And so when you come to the Lord and you come to in prayer and you're looking for help and you're needing things, the Lord is to put it mildly, much more interested in his business. And he's much more willing to invest in his business when people who he's giving to are invested in his own business, when it's his business. The Lord shall supply, my God shall supply all my need. Well, from a according to the riches in Christ Jesus and all that, you know that verse. To the world, that verse isn't true. There are things that God doesn't supply that the world says, hey, you need this. You're supposed to have this. But in God's business, in God's agenda, in his work, God supplies everything that's needed for his work. He does not withhold anything from his work. He makes all provisions for his work. So you go to Naomi says, go down to the threshing floor. This is a place of separation. This is a place where the chaff is separated from the wheat. This is a place where decisions are made. So this is another, I don't know, like I said, all these things are so interconnected, but go to the place of separation. Number 5, she says this, but when you go there, don't let him know you're there yet. Get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. All right, so you're going to let him do what he needs to do. Let him do what he's going to do. And in Ruth's story, it's like Ruth is not being instructed. She's being instructed to wait until Boaz is done doing what he's doing. Wait until, don't barge in, don't interrupt what he's doing, don't interrupt his life and say, you know, and his work and the activities that are going on. Don't interrupt him and make him pay attention to you. Don't interrupt him like that. Let him do what he needs to do. So what does that mean in prayer? Well, sometimes that means I need to wait on the Lord. I need to let him do some things. And I need to let him work. I need to trust him. And I need to stop being maybe so pushy about things and let him work. I think sometimes some of that pushiness and some of that frustration and stuff is a lack of faith. You don't trust that God's going to do what he said he would do. And so Ruth is told, go down to the floor and wait and let Boaz finish what he's doing. And then, after he's finished doing what he's doing, okay, then there may be an opportunity to have a conversation with him. But let him work. Let him, don't interrupt his work. And so, how does that work for us? I think of that verse in Psalms 37. It says, you know it, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes being still, that's the solution. That's the solution. I need to quit being so antsy about this. I need to quit being so worried about this. I need to quit being so frustrated about this situation. And I need to let God do some work. How many times, I couldn't even name probably, how many times I have jumped in front of the Lord to do something and forced the Lord to address the problems I've caused because I didn't wait on him. I didn't let him do anything. It's like, Lord, you're not giving me this, you're not giving me that, you're not making this happen, you're not making this happen. I need to go make this happen, so let's go make this happen. And then there's a mess, there's a hairball, and then the Lord's, you know, okay, well, now that you've done all that, I'm going to have to set you aside for a little bit because we've got to straighten out some messes here. And then after we straighten out the messes, now I can use you. as opposed to, you know what, Lord, I'm going to wait and I'm going to let you work. And then when you're ready, when it's your turn and your time to work with me particularly, or however, you know, how that works, when you're ready, I will wait for to you're ready to do this. So she says, make not thyself known unto the man until he's finished eating and drinking. He's had a hard day's work. He's relaxing. He's trying to unwind, I guess, is an American way of putting all that stuff. But let him finish what he's doing. Wait on the Lord. Then a couple more things real quickly. Naomi says this, verse 4, it shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. All right, when his work is done, he's going to rest. When he's done working, that's what you do. You rest. And Boaz is no different. When he's done working, he's going to rest. And Ruth, here's what you do. You pay attention to where he rests. Watch where he rests. Watch where he rests. All right, so mark the place where he lies down. Set your eyes on where the kinsman rests when his work is done. One cross reference real quick. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. I know Colossians says, set your affections on things above. That's a good correlation to this. Set your affections on things above. What did Jesus Christ do? He did the work and he ascended up to heaven and he sat down beside God. I mean, he's the work of redemption, the work of, I should say, forgiveness is done. So here's the rest of the kinsman. Hebrews chapter 10, real quick here. Mark the place. Naomi says, mark the place where he rests. Make note of it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Says, but this man, talking about Jesus Christ, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering, the work is done, ascend up to heaven and rest. And here's Naomi's instruction to Ruth. All right, when his work is done, when the kinsman work is done, mark the place where he rests. So here's what Paul says. You don't have to turn there. Paul says this, look, set your affections on things above. You know where that is? That's where his rest is right now. He's resting. Jesus Christ has accomplished the work of forgiveness. He's accomplished it. And then he ascends and he rests at the Father's side there. So Naomi to Ruth, mark the place where his work is done and where he rests. Take note of it. Take note of it. Set your eyes on where the kinsman rests. Last thing, real quick. Last thing. Then she says, after you do this, that means that the work is done. That means he's not going to do anything else now. The harvest is over. And then she says this, get thee down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. All right, this whole uncovering the feet thing, you can read some weird interpretations of this stuff. I think, a pretty simple thing. You would probably rather someone wake you up. Well, put it this way. You probably don't like being shaken awake. Wake up, wake up, wake up. So here's what Naomi says. Don't go tapping him on the shoulder. Hey, 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 I'm here. You need to talk to me. Do this. When he's asleep, take the covers off of him. You know what's going to happen when you take the covers off of him? He's going to wake up because he's cold. And when he wakes up, he's going to notice somebody's here with him. That's all that's happening. This is not some weird thing happening. It's a gentle approach. It's a simple, humble approach. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to be the screaming alarm that says, hey, I'm here ready to have a conversation. I am going to gently take the covers off of you. And then when you wake up, and then when you get a little bit chilly in the evening, at night, when you wake up, you'll see somebody's here. And that's what Naomi says. Don't wake him up by shaking him. Don't wake him up by yelling. Don't push him and all that. Just whenever he is asleep, and wait till he's asleep. And when he's asleep, just take the covers off of him. And guarantee he's going to get cold. He's going to wake up. And when he wakes up, he'll see you. And then he'll have some questions about you. And then he'll have some instruction for you. And so it's a real, what is that? That is a gentle approach. It's a humble approach. It's the way you would want to be approached. And all of that is a great spiritual, analogy of approaching the throne. It is a gentle approach. I'll give you one cross reference to this real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. This is the approach. It is a gentle, meek, humble approach. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's interesting. I don't want to. That's a whole other thing, but those two verses go together. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How? Casting all your care upon him. That's you know what that is with Ruth and Naomi? That is, this man, Boaz, has everything we need. He has it. And we don't need to approach him belligerent or frustrated or demanding. You approach him humbly. You approach him graciously. You approach him the way you would want to be approached. Someone's making a request, especially a big request like Ruth's about to make. You approach him gently, and this spirit is appealing. It's appealing to God Almighty, a humble spirit. Over and over, you read it in the Bible that God is attracted to humility. He's personally attracted to humility. He's attracted to meekness. He's attracted to lowliness. He is attracted. He's absolutely opposed to pride. He will fight against pride. He will push against it. But humility, man, he is attracted to that. He's personally attracted to that. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says that God's throne, and we've read it several times, God's throne is not only high up in the heavens, but he makes his home with the lowly as well. That's a contrast. That is God's home is so high above any man, woman, star, sun. It's high. God's throne is high. But then God's throne is also, and God's home, I should say, is also very low. And all that's in one verse in Isaiah. He makes his home in the heavens and with the contrite heart. He makes his home up above and with the lowly. That's where God feels at home. It's appealing. The humility is appealing. So Naomi tells Ruth, all right, when Boaz goes to sleep, Boaz goes to sleep, you figure out where he is, where he slept, and where he's sleeping. Don't wake him up. Don't tap him on the shoulder and tell him it's time to talk. Just take the covers off of him, and he'll wake up, and he'll see you, and then he'll have the conversation y'all need to have. And that's what'll happen. And that's exactly what happens. She takes the covers off Boaz. Boaz wakes up and, oh, there's somebody here. And then what follows is the conversation they need to have. And Ruth is given specific instruction. All right, here's what you need to do now, Ruth. You wait here because I am going to perform the duties of the kinsman. I will do that. And so you wait here until that's done. That's a future lesson. But this is all for answered prayer. The approach to the kinsman with Ruth, Naomi's instruction to approach the kinsman, is there's so many similarities here. We looked at seven of them. Seven of these similarities is to approach the throne of God. And this is not about eternal life and salvation, all that stuff. This is about getting prayers answered with pure motives, with in your mind, in your behavior, you're serving the Lord, you're doing the things, you're partaking in the business of God. And while you're partaking in the business of God, you say, Lord, I need help in this. I need help doing this. I need encouragement. I need something. I need this. I need that. And in the process of the business of God, the Lord takes note of his business. He says, you do need that. In fact, we have some supplies in the warehouse. I'm going to give you some supplies because I can tell you need this. And you're going to need some help with that. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's a true statement. That's a true statement. God takes care of his business. And this is some tenets, really, of answered prayer. Great devotional stuff here in Ruth. So let's wrap it up. We'll pray. And good stuff in here. I like this book. I like this book. Father, thank you so much for this time together. And I pray it's been helpful. Just there's so much good stuff in here. Thank you for a good week of EBS. I do lift up Emery. I pray that I really do pray that she really got saved, and that we could follow up with the families. I know we couldn't do it this morning, but I pray that you keep the door open. Maybe there's other ministries that can be opened from all of this. So, and I pray that you would. It's your business. This is your business. So thank you so much for the help. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the souls that are here. And I pray that people be encouraged this morning and helped. And thank you for the teachers and all those that are teaching the words of God next door. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed for a few minutes.